going down every road, planting seeds just to watch them grow. I have a reward for this brave toy. I can hear the song of the soil.
Hear that song, you know you are in the right place. This is Song of the Soil, a podcast where we explore the science and the music that inform us about soils and its importance to our everyday lives. Hopefully, we do this in a way that creates the same fascination in you, the listener, for the subject of soils as it has for me. Hi, I'm your host for Song of the Soil, Dr. Jake Maurer, soil scientist and associate professor with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. Today's episode is titled Vertisols, Blackland Farmer. In this inaugural episode of the podcast, we bring together the soil science concept of vertisols and the 1959 country music hit Blackland Farmer, written and originally performed by Mr. Frankie Miller. Our guests for the episode are a couple of people I work with in the Department of Soil and Crop Sciences at Texas A&M University, Dr. Julie Howe, Professor of Soil Chemistry, and one of our graduate students, Kate Watson. Both are apparently native Blacklanders. Also, with a little luck, we were able to contact Mr. Frankie Miller himself and secure his participation for this sort of centerpiece to this episode. Well, you know, with any story, where to start, right? So we will start with the Blacklands, or more specifically, the Blackland Prairie. It's one of 10 ecoregions documented in Texas, and ecoregion or ecological region is the term we use to describe an area with a certain conceptualized boundary that within those boundaries is fairly consistent with respect to, say, climate, wildlife, vegetation, and soil, among other things. Outside of those boundaries, a different collection of geographical and biological phenomena exist. The Blackland Prairie in Texas stretches from the northeast corner of the state south and westward to the south side of San Antonio. It is characterized by a gently rolling to level landscape that once was dominated by prairie grasses. Precipitation ranges from 28 to 60 inches, depending on where you are in the Blacklands. So east gets more, west gets less rain. And so the Blackland Prairie is really well known for its black soils, hence the term Blackland. These soils are called vertisols, and they are special for more than just their color. They contain a lot of clay, and many of the locals call the soil gumbo because of the stickiness of the clay. But the soils have a unique property that other soils don't have, and we'll hear more about that later. For now, let's just wade a little bit into a little lesson on soil taxonomy, or the classification system used to assign names to soils based on observable properties. When I say classification system, you can think something very much like the classification system for living organisms. At the top of that system for living organisms, you have the most broad category, domain. I think most of us are at least familiar with the category of kingdom for living organisms, which includes animalia, plantae, fungi, etc. The most specific category is species, you know, with things like barn owls, Escherichia coli, longleaf pines. At the top of the soil classification system is order. That's the category. And at the bottom, the most specific is series. Vertisols are one of the 12 orders of the USDA classification system. Now, Texas has 9 of the 12 orders, more than any other state, and 1,300 series of soil, also more than any other state. Okay, so I said we had a couple of guests to help us out with this episode, and the first one will be graduate student Kate Watson. So let's meet Kate.
So my name is Kate Watson. I am a second year master's student here. I work specifically under soil physics, I guess you would say, soil physics and hydrology, which is essentially, you know, the study of water movement, fluid movement.
So Kate and I, when we had our meeting here to talk about this, we met in the copy room / office supply storage place, which also doubles as a small conference room for the department. And I told her a story about when I first moved to Texas. But I, you know, on the drive here in the U-Haul, mm-hmm. We're passing through Houston and heading up this way, and I see all these billboards for cracked foundation repair. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, does no one know how to pour a foundation around here? Is this do they just doing like the cheapest concrete they can get, or is it all wonky? They only doing 2 inches instead of 4, because I had worked as a carpenter when I was a much younger person, and so that kind of stuck in my head, and I brought it up to somebody. I was like, oh no, it's because we have Vertisols here. And I was like, Vertisols? I've never seen them outside of a textbook. I'll just say this before you start, that mm-hmm. the reason I invited you particularly as a graduate student is because you are studying Vertisols, mm-hmm. right? And you had this great title for a presentation that I saw. And what was the title?
I believe it was Cracked Foundation.
Right. Vertisols, a Cracked Foundation, mm-hmm. something like that, yeah. right? And so that, again, that caught my interest as you being someone willing to play around with words, maybe a little bit creative. So tell us about your project.
Yeah, so essentially with that title, to give a little bit more of an interpretation, with our understanding of Vertisols and what part of what my project is trying to address, or at least bring attention to, is the incomplete understanding that we have of Vertisols, specifically with modeling water flow and being able to draw predictions that are necessary for groundwater recharge or contaminant flow, or like through the soil, or for flood prediction, things like that.
So Kate was telling me a lot about how the Blacklands had historically been anyway a reservoir of quite a bit of native biodiversity, particularly in grass species and animal species. But in the last 150 years or so, the Blacklands have been farmed extensively, and this has gone down quite a bit. So are you saying, so there's not only just a sort of decline in biodiversity that's been very important mm-hmm. for the functionality of this ecosystem, but are you also saying there's a culture associated with the Blacklands, or some kind of cultural identity?
I would say so. You know, if you have an ecoregion that's formed by fire,
yeah. okay.
and it's in a climate that not only can get very cold, but it gets really hot too. You know, we're in the middle of summer right now, and it's 105. It can get up 110, 115 outside, and so it's an area that is beautiful, but also can be very harsh. And I think that plays into the culture that developed around it. You know, if you meet people who've been here for generations, they're hardy people. You know, they're tough. Yeah, they don't give up easy. They put in the work. They don't complain. They are hardworking people.
Yeah, and there are times of the year when these farmers are working 20, 22
yeah.
hours a day,
yeah.
running lights out in the field, and
yeah.
And they don't understand why they can't get reliable help.
Yeah. So. But even still, they're grateful for the land,
yeah,
which is amazing.
And the lifestyle, I mean, yeah, the ones that I've met as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you find this still presence of gratitude and contentment and appreciation, even in the midst of all of the hardship. So I think that the culture very much is reflected in the native grasses and native landscape for sure.
Oh, wow. So this is a really good place to remind everybody that this program is about pairing a song with a soil science subject. And so our song today is Blackland Farmer, 1959 Billboard number 3 hit by Frankie Miller. So let's listen to a little bit of that right now.
Get up here, boy.
Okay, so I hope you all can see why this song is so related to the Vertisols. I mean, it's about black land farming. There's a respect for the farmer there. This is something that Kate Watson had brought up earlier. And so I was fortunate enough to be invited into Mr. Miller's home to interview him personally about this song, its legacy, its impact as far as he knew. And he was just very, very charming. He's a little bit aged now, and he's got a caretaker, and she was very welcoming as well. But he's all there, very sharp wit, just a little bit soft-spoken, but a pleasure to speak with. And so here's some of the best parts of that interview. One of my questions for you was, did you write this song about someone in particular? And I think you were just getting out of it, getting it
right.
So you wrote this song about your uncle, you said?
Yeah, about my uncle, Louis Sauer. He was a farmer all of his life. He farmed down below San Antonio, Texas, about 60 miles or so below San Antonio. Was one of my first uncles, and I loved him like a brother, and he done all of his life he farmed till he passed away. He was a good man.
Did you spend time on that farm?
Oh yeah, I in the summertime I would go down there and stay with him just about all summer. When I was out of school, you know, I'd go down there and stay with him, and I would ride with him on the cultivator and everything, you know. And I decided I need to do something for him. I need to write something about his way of life, you know. So I come up with this thing, Blackland Farmer. And it really paid off for me. I didn't know there was that many people that would care about a Blackland farm, but there are.
They are. And they still are. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of people that love that old song, Blackland Farmer. People have called it a semi-religious song.
Sure.
And it really borders on that too. And that's what I wrote it about, you know, for. I wanted to make sure that that we put the good Lord in the song. Because farmers, there's something about farmers and the land and the Lord all go together.
So looking back on this song, there's a line in there about busting up the sod, and busting up the soil, right? Nowadays, we're teaching a lot of farmers to reduce their tillage and try and keep the soil from eroding. So, and this isn't a gotcha question or anything.
Breaking up the ground.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I'm wondering if looking back and what we teach now about stewarding the soil, do you feel like those lyrics are still as relevant to the Blackland farmer? Have you met any farmers or fans who talk about stewarding the Blackland soil or protecting it more?
Sure. You bet. I think our soil needs to be protected. They're not making any more of it.
No. That's excellent way to put it.
It really needs to be protected. And I'm glad that I could have helped along the cause just a little bit by writing this song.
Well, I couldn't agree more with Mr. Miller. We're all very glad that he wrote that song. Speaking of the song, let's get back to Kate. Okay, what did you think of the song?
Personally, I really like this song. The style and that era, I grew up listening to music, honestly, from all genres of that era, of that time period, but including that song's genre. And so it did hit home for me. And some of the things he says, one of the lines that he says in the song is, "My heart is warm and my ways ain't tough." And it reminds me so much of, you know, Texas, it's the friendly state.
Sure.
And reminds me of that. Even though his face is rough, you know, in the song, and he works real hard and he puts in the work, like he keeps his heart nice and welcoming and warm. And it reminded me of just the culture that's been established and that I've grown up in, and
sure,
in the state, and that's been here since, you know, 6-7 generations. So
okay, I said we had a third guest, and we have not heard from Dr. Julie Howe yet. So let me introduce Julie Howe.
My name is Julie Howe. I'm a professor of soil science in the Soil and Crop Science Department at Texas A&M University. I have been working in soils for about 20 years now, and I have my degrees from Texas A&M University and University of Wisconsin-Madison.
And Julie was gracious enough to invite me into her kitchen to talk about Vertisols. And fair warning, she has a beautiful dog and a beautiful cat whose noises we might hear during the interview. I had heard this story about the Houston black clay being the unofficial state soil. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
It is. I don't know why it is considered unofficial. They just don't have a state soil of Texas, but everybody considers it the state soil of Texas. So it is probably one of the, I think it's one of the most interesting soils. Of course, I grew up on it. I'm probably a little biased.
That was the cat.
Just a second.
There's a cat on the table.
All right. So yeah, I think that the Houston black clay is just a really interesting soil. It mostly forms like a line, kind of like a swoop through central Texas. And it is just very distinctive. And so that's all I know why it's the state seal of Texas, even though, like I said, it's unofficial. But anyway, it's kind of a neat soil. And I think just because it kind of follows around I-35 from about Dallas down through Temple and a little bit further south than that. And there's some similar soils that go to the west of it. But it all kind of follows that prairie land that goes through central Texas. So,
would you say that the Houston black clay is very indicative of a Verdisol?
Yes, I think it's a pretty good example of it, because what you look for in a Verdisol is a couple of things. It usually shrinks and swells. So it shrinks when it's dry and swells when it's wet, and sometimes you can stick your whole fist, and sometimes your whole leg can go stick in some of these cracks. It is it also has what they call these little things called slick insides, which are these planes where I guess I kind of think of it as slip and slides. Uh-huh. It's where the soil slips against each other and creates a kind of a shiny side wall to it. And so this is not caused by shovels, which can also make a similar looking impression, but the soil does it naturally through its shrinking and swelling activities. And then it also does this other thing called gilgai. And the gilgai are these formations where, because of the shrinking and swelling, you get this topography that's kind of these mini hills everywhere. And so when it rains, sometimes you see these where the low parts are, the water will kind of collect in these areas. And honestly, when I went on a trip to Alaska once, and they said that the process of forming those gilgai is very similar to the polygons that are formed in Alaska due to the shrinking, due to the ice melting and freezing and thawing. So it's a lot of the same, you'll see the same sort of things, except they form polygons instead of these sort of little hills, but it's the same process.
So, I'm listening to you and I'm watching you. I think you like talking about Verdisols.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think it's these soil processes. I mean, whenever you have things that are moving around and through, you have a lot of soil processes and soil formation, but these are really interesting because these are, somewhat climate dependent. It requires a certain specific conditions for these sort of soils to form. There's also some similar soils. If you go to Alabama, they call it the Black Belt instead of the Blackland Prairie. And there's some of these are also found in Idaho. But they're kind of really narrow regional soils that are very specific. And so most states that have these are kind of proud of their Verdisols.
Yeah. I think Texas is definitely proud of its black lands and its gumbo soils, as some folks call it. So, what do you think it would take to make the Houston black the official state soil of Texas?
I think you have to go to the legislature and,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, is that what we're doing this afternoon? One thing we haven't explained so far yet is the mechanism by which the shrinking and swelling happens. And so I was going to ask you, being a soil chemist.
All right. Well, so I'm going to try not to get this too complicated.
Okay.
So
you're not going to use the word angstroms?
I'm not going to use the word angstroms. Well, I just did, but only because you said it.
I tricked you.
You tricked me.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to talk about the type of clay. So the Verdisols are usually made with a high percentage of clay that's a specific kind of clay that's called smectitic clay, sometimes called montmorillonitic clay. These clays are made of these sheets and layers of, and when the layers, they have what's called an interlayer space, and it turns out that the interlayer space is not, the layers aren't held together super strongly. So the water from surrounding areas has the ability to get inside that interlayer space. And when it does that, it keeps adding and it kind of pushes the layers apart. And then when it dries, of course, the water exits and it causes it to collapse, which causes that shrink swell.
What did you think of the song?
I thought the song was pretty cool. I never heard that before. That's pretty fun.
And so I had to ask Julie, what was her favorite thing about Vertisols?
Well, I think this goes back to my childhood. So I guess I was a bored child. I don't know. When I was a kid, my mom sent me outside to play. And so often my neighbor and I, we would create all kinds of, we would use it as modeling clay and we would create all kinds of shapes. We would sometimes pretend to make dog poo and scare people. Sometimes we would make actual mud pies. Sometimes you could do all kinds of things with it because it, once it dries, it's really hard and it kind of shrinks together. Anyway, we had a lot of fun with it when I was a kid. That's probably one of my favorite things about it, is to just have a lot of good memories as a kid. The bad things about it is it's a little bit hard to work with because when it's really wet, it's really muddy. One time I went horseback riding and the mud was so sticky that it pulled my boots off my legs. I even had elastic on around my calves to hold the boots on, and it still pulled the, like, I couldn't even pull my boots off myself, but the soil was so sticky it pulled the boots off my feet. So it does make it difficult to work with. You have to really get in the fields when it's the right moisture content. It's either concrete, it's a mess of sticky mud, or it's just right.
Yeah, right.
And there may be only an hour in the day that it's just right.
Yeah, I always say it's a really productive soil when the water's just right.
Yep, it really is.
Okay. Just to bring it full circle, we're going to have one last word from Kate.
I thought that was so funny how you said that your first impression of the billboards and the crack foundation. I never would have crossed my mind. You know, we've been watering our foundation my whole life.
Yeah, that's something you have to do here,
around.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to have a little soaker hose around your foundation, but at just the right, from just the right, you know, depth or distance. And anyways, it's been funny, but
so for people who don't live on Vertisols, if you build a house and you pour a concrete pad on it and it gets dry in the summer, the soil will actually shrink away from the foundation, leaving the mm-hmm. edges mm-hmm. vulnerable to actually not having any support underneath yeah. them, and the edges will crumble off
mm-hmm.
and you have to have that repaired. And that was getting back to that story. So
yeah.
what we tell everybody during a drought is to water your foundation well.
Not too much, not too little.
Yeah.
All right. And that was our first episode of Song of the Soil. So glad you could join us. Hope you come back for our future episodes as well. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Jake Maurer. And on behalf of the organization that I work for, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, dedicated to improving the lives of Texans, we thank you for being here with us today. I want to thank, of course, Kate Watson, Dr. Julie Howe, and the incomparable and charming Mr. Frankie Miller. Thank you all. Also, I'd like to thank our musical director, Ignatz Chickadee. Without his efforts, all these little bits of original music that tie the segments together wouldn't happen. A very talented musician and a very kind man. Thank you, Brother Ignatz. We will be listening to Brother Ignatz's version of Blackland Farmer on the way out here. And hope to see you soon.
I guess I'm the luckiest man ever born, cause the Lord gave me health and the Blackland Farmer.
And one more special thanks for Mr. Chase Bourne for laying down all that pretty fiddle we heard today. Thank you, Chase.
Do you have a favorite version that someone has done of your song later on?
I've heard a lot of guys sing it. I like Ray Price the way he sang it. Chicken on a chicken just about every day. On a hack, a one horse flat wagon, and I rode on the hack in a number two wash tub full of shell corn. And I had a quart can. And I would throw out a quart at every house, a quart or two for the chickens.
Okay.
Boy, and they would see us coming, they would be ready to. They would run after us.